Welcome to the Naples Community Church Podcast with Pastor Kurt Anderson. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this sermon inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God moving in your life. We trust God has great things in store for you. Enjoy today's message.
Father God, we thank you so much that you have blessed us. You've blessed us financially. May we use these finances to further the kingdom, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And I just want you to know, Jess, maybe we could turn my mic down just a little bit. The only reason I got away with that snarky comment is because Dustin's wife is running the show this morning. So, I know Kurt would back me up on this. Dustin does so many things behind the scenes that you don't even know about. It's absolutely amazing. But Jess, in all seriousness, thank you for running the show this morning. Really appreciate it. Just didn't want you to think I was that mean. So our text this morning is in the book of Luke. You've got a Bible in front of you. I want to encourage you to follow along. It's Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. This is my last Sunday bringing the message for a time. Kurt's been away, and I just want to also acknowledge that it's a privilege to stand here. And I don't take it for granted, and thank you, Pastor, for that opportunity. So Luke chapter 13, we're going to jump in and read the first five verses, a little bit of background. So Jesus had many followers. The followers here are not the disciples, not the 12, but some other followers of Jesus, and they're asking him some questions related to the problem of evil. There were present at that time some who told him, so that would be Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. That means nothing to us, but I'll talk about that in a minute. And Jesus answered and he said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or Jesus gives another illustration. He says, verse 4, "What about those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them? Do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But," here it is again, "unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." May God bless the reading of his word. I know that I've mentioned on several occasions that when the Edmondsons first moved here to Naples from Seattle, where we were for 27 years, I did a six-month internship at a Vow Hospice started by our own Glenna. And it was one of the most rewarding temporary ministries that I did. It was also by far the most difficult ministry that I ever did. Because Monday through Friday, I would literally sit next to people who were just moments away from passing away. Sometimes it was peaceful. Sometimes it wasn't so peaceful. But I remember this one particular situation where I'd work would start at 8:30 in the morning. We'd have I would be included in the nurses' meetings, and then I would usually let the nurses kind of do their thing, and then I would follow along a couple of minutes later. And I remember this one situation where I went into this room and all of the lights were off, and the shades were pulled. And I walked in, and I was actually wearing the same shoes that I'm currently wearing. And I remember the click of my heels. And I walked into the room, and there was lying on her deathbed a very beautiful woman. Well, she wasn't beautiful when I walked in, but I could tell that there was a time in her life where she was just drop-dead gorgeous. And next to her, and this is very common, was a picture of her probably about 10 years ago of what she looked like before she got sick. And sitting next to her was her 96-year-old mother, who was a survivor of the Holocaust. And her mother was sitting next to her in tears. And I was just about to turn around because I thought, not appropriate, Dan. And before I could, her mother grabbed me and said, I need to talk with you. So we went out into the hallway, and if you've ever been to a Vow Hospice, absolutely lovely place. And there was a little family waiting room, and no one was in it. And so we went into this room, and I sat next to this woman. It's been several years now, so I can tell you this story. I won't use her name. And she was this far away from me, so if my hand is her face. And she began to tell me about her life. And she was so close to me that I could see she had the bluest eyes I have ever seen. But when I looked in her eyes, I can tell you, I literally don't know of any other time in my life where I was so uncomfortable because there was so much pain in those eyes. She described to me that as a child, she and her family were basically kidnapped by the Nazis. And for those of you that are young and you're watching this on video and you don't believe that there was a Holocaust, I am here to tell you that there was, because her arm was tattooed with a number. And she began to speak to me about how her family was kidnapped and they were brought to a train station and they were divided up. And she got on the train, and she was brought to, I don't remember the name of the camp, but she said it to me, and she was the only one that survived. Somehow, she made it to America. Somehow, she carved out this wonderful life for herself and her family. She made it, and she looked at me, and she said, I need you to tell me why I'm going to outlive my daughter. I went home that day wrecked. I'm still wrecked by that situation. Because really what she was asking me is, can you tell me about the problem of evil? Now, there's a reason I'm bringing this message this morning. So you know, I didn't want to bring it. But I'm doing it because a member in our congregation, and I have a feeling that he's not the only one, emailed me 2 weeks ago and said, Dan, would you please address the problem of evil? Now, I want to be the first to say that I'm not going to figure it out this morning. I'm not going to solve this problem. I might be good, but I'm not that good. This is something that people have been wrestling with for thousands of years. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why this individual that survived probably the darkest time in human history, and she has to say goodbye to her daughter who's in her 50s? That's messed up, folks. And if ever Jesus had an opportunity to address evil and injustice, it's right here in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. I mean, I don't golf well, Tom, so don't invite me. But if ever there was an opportunity for this to be teed up for Jesus, this is the absolute perfect place. So rather than me stand up here and try to fake you all out, let's see what Jesus has to say. Because I'm pretty sure he's better than me. So some people come, some followers of Jesus come to Jesus, and they say, listen, we want to know what's up with the Galileans. So basically, contextually, what happens is that, how many of you guys have ever been to Israel? Just raise your hand if you've ever been to Israel, okay? Israel's very much like California. And there are different regions in Israel. In Jesus' day and age, the Galilee was the place where all of the freedom fighters gathered. This was the place where the rough and tumble ones lived. These were people you didn't want to mess with. These were like the Peshmerga fighters. They were like the Scottish fighters, the Irish fighters. They were known for just being relentless. And a group of them, Galileans, made their way to Jerusalem for a worship service. And somehow, during their time of worship, Pilate had them assassinated. And their blood ended up somewhere in the temple area. In Judaism, that is viewed as the worst possible thing that could happen to you. It would be like, I don't think it was that long ago where someone walked into a Jewish sanctuary somewhere in the United States. I don't remember the specifics, but I think this happened recently. A gunman walked in and he just mowed down a lot of people. And that is in Judaism, that is the worst thing that can happen to you. Not just that you were murdered, but that you were murdered in church. Josephus says that the Galileans, quote, are fighters from the cradle. So these guys were rough and tumble. These guys didn't care whether or not they were martyred for the cause, but not in church. And then what do we know about Pilate? Well, he's one of the most wishy-washy characters in all of Scripture. He's born in Italy, and somehow he ends up in Judea, which was like the worst possible place for an Italian, for a Roman, that you could end up in Judea. It'd be like, you know, the presbytery saying to Pastor Kurt, we love you, but we're transferring you to Siberia. Not going to happen. And so Pilate doesn't want to be in Judea, but he's there, he's responsible for this. And then, if that weren't enough, Jesus says, well, I'll do you one better, guys. What about the tower at the Pool of Siloam? I've been to the Pool of Siloam. There's no tower there. You know why? It fell down, and it killed a bunch of people. And so Jesus begins to address, Jesus knows what they're thinking. They want to know, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen? What does Jesus say here? I don't like what he says. But he says, you're asking the wrong question. And I wonder sometimes if we're in the same boat. Jesus says, if you don't repent, the same thing is going to happen to you. It's almost like he's saying, don't worry, don't waste your time about the problem of evil. That's not for you to figure out. I kind of find some comfort there, because I don't think we're ever going to figure it out. I mean, really fully understand why people get cancer, why a 50-year-old beautiful woman passes before her Holocaust-surviving mother. But Jesus says it two times. He says, repent. Now, as one who grew up and I've devoted my entire life to working in the church. The church is a very big organization, and there are conservatives and liberals and progressives and all kinds of different people in the church. There are Republicans in the church. Yes, there are Democrats in the church. And I've always hung out with the conservative end of things. And I have spent my entire life listening to this concept of repentance. Here's what I was told. Repentance is this, Dan. You were headed in one direction, not so good, and you met Jesus, and you turned around, and you went in the other direction. That's what I was told. So repentance is you were going one way, something happens, and you turn around, and you go the other way. Well, the older I get, the more I realize that's a very limited understanding of repentance. Repentance is a word most of us don't like to hear. It's a word I don't know, it just kind of rubs me the wrong way sometimes. Pastor Kurt's been away for a little bit, and I raided his library, and I found a book by Erdman, and he says this, quote, God mercifully preserves and blesses and spares, but the day of mercy will end. Wow, welcome to church. That's heavy. Repentance. See, repentance is more than just turning around. Repentance is a new way of looking at this messed up life. You don't look at tragedy the same way that a person who doesn't know Jesus looks at tragedy. Repentance. We got it all backwards. We think God owes us. You know, God owes me. I should never get sick. I should never have to have a root canal. I've had four of them. He doesn't owe us anything. God doesn't have to do anything for us. But he does. I want to take you back to Genesis. I feel like I always go back to Genesis. Somehow, I really feel like if you can get a handle on the first three chapters of Genesis, you're going to have a much better life. What happens? Genesis chapter 1, God creates everything, everything that we're aware of. And then in chapter 2, we read, and you don't even have to turn in your Bible because this is so familiar, right? Then the Lord God took the man. By the way, the man here, this is men and women. And he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. You can eat. We don't even know how big the garden was. I get the impression it was pretty big. It was bigger than the botanical gardens here. And God says, you know, just knock yourself out. Enjoy the garden. Run around naked with Eve all day long. Have a great time. You can do whatever you want, but, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it. Do not eat from that tree. Now, that begs the question right there, why? That's an easy one. Free will. We're not robots. God created us with the ability to walk away from him. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. And God says this, for in the day that you guys, plural, eat of it, you shall surely die. You're going to die. You're not going to make it. So write this down somewhere. The reason bad things happen is because we live in a fallen world. I mean, it's literally that simple. We live in a fallen world. The reason bad things happen to you is because of your parents. I don't mean your parents' parents. I don't mean your grandparents or your great-grandparents. I mean our original parents. They messed up. And when I was born, the clock started ticking. I don't know how long I have. I could have 20 more years. I could have 30 more years. I could have 30 more minutes. I don't know. You don't know. We're born with this flawed DNA, and we get sick, and problems happen. And listen, dear ones, I've been to the hospital before as a pastor, and I've prayed for people, and people have been healed and walked out that hospital door. I've also gone to the hospital and prayed for people, and they died the next day. Healing comes from God. God is the one who determines what happens to us. So, really, email person, and I'm working real hard at not making eye contact with you, how do we live in this fallen world? That's really the question. I can't solve the problem of evil, but I can help you. How do I live in this fallen world? And for time's sake, I want to just give you three things. Number one, I got to come to grips with my situation. I have to come to grips with my situation. Listen, I'm one of those pre-trib, pre-mill, may not mean anything to you, but I believe that I'm going to be raptured and I'm never going to have to go to a vow. But if I'm wrong, I need to come to grips with the fact that I'm not going to live forever in this body. And by the way, I wouldn't want to, right? There's a reason that God prevented Adam and Eve from eating from the other tree. Because if they ate of the other tree, they would have remained in their sinful state for all eternity. That was gracious on the part of God. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. He says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, Adam, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. He means men and women. Solomon says it's better to go to a funeral than a wedding. Now, I like weddings way more than funerals. But why does Solomon say that? Because every single time I've either officiated at graveside or I've just simply gone to the funeral of a loved one, it kind of does that to me. It wakes me up. I think to myself, oh my goodness, how am I living my life before Almighty God? Number two, how do I live in a fallen world? I recognize the gift of God. Ephesians 1:13. I mean, we could have a three-day seminar on this, but just listen to this one verse. In him, you, Christian, also trusted after you heard, there's a progression here, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I have good news for you today. So hopefully this isn't a sermon that you'll leave and be like, oh man, can't wait till Kurt's back next week. I got to tell you, I can't wait till Kurt is back next week, because this is three in a row for me. But Paul says, in Jesus, you trusted after you heard the word of truth. For some of you, that happened in Sunday school when you were a little kid. For some of you, that might happen this morning. Listen, Paul says, God has done something. He's been merciful. He's merciful today. The best is yet to come. We're just passing through. Pastor Kurt says this all the time. We're not bodies with spirits. We're spirits who are temporarily in this broken down, worn out body. Doesn't end there. I mean, I could tell you some avowal stories, some crazy stuff that's happened when people of faith pass away, and Glenna could tell you even more. Number three, I use my setbacks. How do I live in a fallen world? I use my setbacks to help others. Oh man, this is golden right here. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. I'm going to read it from the Message. Eugene Peterson, who is a Bible scholar, says this: all praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times. Why? So that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. I like to listen to talk radio. Saturday is a talk radio graveyard. There's nothing good on the radio on Saturday. And I was listening to a rerun, well, I guess that's good, of the Dennis Prager Show. Love Prager U. And I'm listening, and Prager is interviewing this man who calls in and says to Dennis Prager, I've never had any big problems in my life, and I about ran the car into a ditch. Because first of all, he's lying. But I have to tell you that in my experience, people that I have met that say things like that are very shallow people. I don't want to hang out with people who don't have problems, because they don't have anything to say. I want to hang out with people who have been hurt. I want to follow a leader who has a limp. Paul says this: you know why God sometimes allows you to go through difficulty? Because he wants you to walk across the street and be a friend to that little old lady that just lost her husband. Because he wants you to sit in a hospital room and not necessarily share your story, but weep because you know how that person is feeling. That is the answer. I don't know what you think about Bill Hybels. I know he made some mistakes. We all do. But I was in a room one time where Pastor Hybels, senior pastor and founder of Willow Creek Church, he was sharing a story about this very topic. And he said that he was in Chicago one winter, and it was very cold. And I've lived in places where it snows so much, you know, the snowplow comes down the road and it covers your car and you don't even know where your car is. Don't you just love Naples? And so Pastor Hybels was in downtown Chicago. It had just been a huge snowstorm and people are falling all over the place. And he's standing at a four-way intersection and he notices across the way, there's this little old lady with a bag of groceries and she cannot get across the street by herself. And Bill said he was angry at God and he kind of just mumbled out loud, "God, where are you?" And then it wasn't an audible voice, but it was a voice in his head that said, "I'm right here, Bill. I'm right here." Let's pray. I don't get it, Lord. I don't understand why bad things happen to us. But they do. What I do know is that you still love us. You're still here. You'll always be here. You'll never leave us alone. I pray we're raptured. But if we end up at a vow or some other place, God, we're so grateful that you're still there. We don't even know how good it is. What lies before us because of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We confess to you we are weak. We thank you for this church that is a beacon of hope in Naples. It is a place where people can come and find comfort because we all have limps. And all God's people said, amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a few things you can do. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at www.naplescommunitychurch.org. If you happen to be visiting Naples, please drop in for our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fabulous day.